Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you'll get me those of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. You can send messages to the show on Twitter, at Go For It Gant. And while you're there at Go For It Gant, give us a follow at Go For It Gant. Great show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. We're going to talk some things in the NFL. We're going to talk about what we saw last night with the Ravens and Steelers. Colin Kaepernick. The end, possibly? I mean, wow. Wow. But we're going to talk about that. His Saints, 0-3 Saints. Are they done? I think they might be done at this point. And we're going to talk about all things NFL with Willie Rofe, so he'll be joining us in about a half hour. And so we're going to talk sports, have fun doing it. Let's start what we saw last night. We saw the Ravens. We saw the Steelers. We saw a big football game for both football teams. Because the reality is this, you know, Steelers win that game at 3-1. Who knows if Cincy loses on Sunday, they're tied for the top spot in the NFC North. Conversely, you take the Baltimore Ravens and you take a team that was 0-3, you put them to 0-4, you pretty much end their season. You end their season at that point. The opportunities were there. You can blame Josh Scobie. Obviously, you got to make those field goals. You can't miss those type of field goals. I know Heinz Field is a tough place to kick in. I know it's tough. But at the end of the day, you got to make those field goals. You got to make them. And if you make at least one of those field goals, you put the football game away. You don't put the football game away, but you force Baltimore to have a score, a touchdown, something they had struggled to do throughout the course of that ball game. They had some struggles. But you're Josh Scobie. In that particular situation, as the kicker, your job is to make those field goals. That's your job. And so when you are called on to do your job, you have to make those field goals. And the thing about it, in missing those field goals, at that point, the team, the coach, everybody lost confidence in Josh Scobie. So when Mike Tomlin, on a 4th-and-1, had an opportunity to kick a 50-yard field goal in overtime for the victory, he decided, you know what? I don't trust this kicker. I don't trust him. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for it. And he went for it, and he missed it. You know, Vic missed Antonio Brown. I would have liked to have seen at least a play fake in that particular situation. I would have thought everybody in the building thought maybe Le'Veon Bell would get it, and they went for it on 4th-down twice. And Le'Veon Bell did not get a carry in each of those situations. Vic to one time and Vic throwing an errant pass to Antonio Brown. The Steelers had opportunities in this football game. Antonio Brown dropped a short touchdown. The Steelers had opportunities to put that football game away. Many chances, many opportunities. They didn't do it. And they're going to kick themselves. They're going to be kicking themselves because this was not it was an opportunity. You know, it's so tough and so hard to win in the National Football League. It ain't easy. It's not. And so when you have an opportunity to win an NFL football game, you had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And you could not put the ball game away. You couldn't do it. When you have a team down 20-7, you got to win. when you have opportunities to make field goals, you got to make them. You make that field goal and you probably win the game. You're probably 3-1. 3-1. 3-1 is so much better than 2-2. So not only you're 3-1, but you put the Ravens away. Now, you know, we can question Mike Tomlin. Do I think maybe he should have went for that 50-yard field goal in overtime? Probably. Probably. And, you know, we can, you know, there was one instance in regulation where, you know, they had some drops. Wheaton dropped the football there in regulation. Went through his arms. And that would have gave the Pittsburgh Steelers a first down with an opportunity. That was in regulation with an opportunity to salt the football game away. An opportunity to salt away. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. You got to close. You got to close in that particular situation. You got to. The Steelers did not close. You don't close. You don't win. It's that simple in the National Football League. You give a team chance after chance. After chance, and that was Sammy Coates, not Wheaton, who dropped that football that I'm referencing in regulation where Vic put it on him and it went through his arms. He should have caught that football. And that would have had to, that would have been a first down. That would have ended, pretty much ended the football game at that particular time. And it was an incomplete pass, and therefore Baltimore didn't have to use a timeout in that particular situation. And so it was a big situation. But at the end of the day, the Steelers – had so many opportunities to win this football game, and they didn't do it. I think Mike Tomlin has to take a hit, and whether you say Tomlin or Todd Haley, who's the offensive coordinator, you know, some of those play calls were a little questionable. I think they both take a hit. Michael Vick takes a small hit because that pass to Antonio Brown was a pass that could have the play was open. The play was open. That was a play that should have been made. He takes somewhat of a hit, but he's a rusty football player. He hasn't started in a long time. He came to the Steelers late in the preseason. So, I mean, I guess we can give a little blame, but he did pretty much everything he needed to. He didn't turn the football over, which is huge. He did everything he needed to do to put that Steelers team in position to win the football game. You can't ask for anything. I mean, you can ask for a little more because obviously only 124 yards passing. It was a conservative game plan by the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you could have, yeah, obviously he could have gave you a little more. But again, you talk about a level of rust that he had. You talk about unfamiliarity with that offense. So you're talking about all those different things, all those different dynamics, and ultimately, you know, maybe in that 4-1 situation, you should have handed it off to Le'Veon Bell because, again, Michael Vick still acclimating himself with that offense and still he hasn't played a lot of football over the past season. Hasn't played a lot of football. So, you know, maybe if you're Todd Haley in that particular situation, you protected Michael Vick throughout that football game, maybe – you know, that maybe you give it to Le'Veon Bell in that particular situation. Le'Veon Bell's a special back. His moves are special. His patience, it's just a beautiful sight to see this man run. He runs high, so patient with the way he runs the football. You got to love what Le'Veon Bell brings to the table for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in that situation, he's probably he's one of the best backs in football, and one of the best backs in football should have got his hands on that rock at least one time in those 4-1 situations. At least once. But he didn't. So, you know, obviously the Steelers go home losing a tough football game. Obviously the Steelers are going to be in the market for a new kicker. Josh Scobie, at this point, they're looking for a new one. They're looking for a new kicker. You can't miss two field goals, two 40-yard field goals, 40-plus. They were 40-plus, but they weren't 50. One was 49, I believe the other was like 44, 42. You got to hit them. You got to hit those footballs. I mean, you got to hit those footballs through the uprights. You got to do it. And there's just no explanation for you. Again, I get Times Field's a tough place to kick, but that's your job. And there are three phases to a football game. Three phases. Three. Offense, defense, special teams. Stewart played decent on defense. Played decent enough on offense. But at the end of the day, they didn't play good enough on special teams. And Baltimore's kick, Justin Tucker, he's a weapon. He's a weapon. He banged a 52-yard field goal in Heinz Field. You say 52 yards. Again, that's a long field goal, and he did it in Heinz Field. That, you know, and you knew he was going to make it. You knew he was going to make it. He's reliable, probably one of the best kickers in this game. One of the best. And so you nail that 52-yard field goal in overtime, and you give your team a much-needed victory. A much-needed victory. A victory that is a season saver. Is it a season saver? Time will be the judge of that. But you live to fight another day. 1-3 is a whole heck of a lot better than 0-4. 1-3 is so much better than 0-4. It's not much better, but it's better. It's better. And so, now, the Steelers, you know, 2-2, they prepare for their next opponent, the Ravens 1-3, and now the Ravens have some life. Not a lot of life. Not a lot of life. But some life, and Tucker's 52-yard field goal tied for the longest field goal in Heinz Field history. So, it's a tough place to kick field goals. It's not an easy place at all. Kudos to Justin Tucker. I mean, this kid, what, 7-for-7 in his career on potential game tying or go-ahead kicks in the final 2 minutes of regulation, that's clutch. That gets it done. That kind of stuff keeps you in the league for a long, long time. That kind of stuff keeps you going. But Josh Scobie's already missed 4 field goals, already missed 4, and so you got to do better. You got to do better, Josh, especially if you want to stick and stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially if you want to stick and stay not only with the Steelers, heck with the Steelers, there's 31 other football teams. If you want to stay in the National Football League, you got to put that through the upright. Didn't do it. That's a problem. Steelers lose, and the Ravens win. Great football, not a great, good football game last night. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of interesting calls. And, you know, the fake field goal by the Ravens, you know, and a lot of people were questioning that one. I didn't think it was a bad call. I really didn't. You know, what helped, not help per se, but, you know, it was just a great play by Sean Spence. I mean, that was a great play. They had something. But Spence sniffed it out. Spence made the tackle. Ultimately, that tackle stopped. He had a first down. He was going to get a first down, maybe more. Maybe more. Stopped the tight end there in that particular situation. Probably was going to get a first down, maybe even more. But ultimately, they get it done. Ravens move on. Let's go to Derrick Rose now. Derrick Rose, you know, can't catch a break. Derrick Rose cannot catch a break. If it's one thing, it's another. If it's an ACL, it's an MCL. You know what I mean? It's just, if it's not one thing, if it's another, it's now an AC. It went from an ACL to an MCL to a broken orbital bone. in his face, in his eye. And so Derrick Rose, you know, Derrick Rose made a lot of noise, not noise per se, but he raised some eyebrows. He raised some eyebrows, and so, you know, the thing about it is, and you know, I think we've all heard his comments by now, but it, I mean, the way he answered, I mean, the question kind of, the way he answered the question was, it really wasn't the answer to the question he was asked, and you know, he kind of went on a tangent, you know, just talking, you know, he just went on a little tangent, and in the process of going on that little tangent, he brings and talks about money, and he talks about, you know, Derrick Rose has been talking about, you know, talked about before in terms of what he, his son, and you know, he wants to be able to walk and be okay and not be in pain when he's an older man, so on and so forth. You know, so on and so forth. And these are the comments that had people talking. Here it is, quote, "This whole summer I had tunnel vision. My mindset was just making sure that I was working out every day and spending as much time as possible with my son and focusing on two things. Those two things, I should say, making sure my family is financially stable, as far as seeing all that money that they're passing out in this league, just telling the truth, just knowing that my day will be coming up soon." Reality is Derrick Rose is saying, you know what, Reggie Jackson's getting big-time money. You know, they're doling, they're giving big-time money to a lot of guys. Guys that you say, how did he get that type of money? And how did they get that type of money? And how does she get that kind of money? And how did, you know, not she, but he, how did he get to that money, that one? And how did DeMarre Carroll get that? How did this guy get that? I mean, it went on and on and on about the money. All the money that was thrown out. All the money that was given to a lot of guys. Some guys that really maybe not deserved that kind of money. Guys that you're saying, what? He got that? He got that? How did he get that? You know, you see a Goran Dragic, 5 years, $86 million. He's better than Derrick Rose? You see a guy, Robin Lopez, 4 years, $54 million. You know, Thad Young, 4 years, $50 million. Wes Matthews coming off injuries, 4 years, $70 million. Reggie Jackson, 5 years, $80 million. So the list goes on and on, the amount of money that's out there. There's a lot of money out there, a lot of people, a lot of opportunities for a lot of guys to get paid. A lot of guys got paid, and there's going to be more opportunities for guys to continue to get paid. Derrick Rose can be a free agent in 2017, that's the time when that contract, that new TV money, kicks in. So, and a lot of people are mad and critical of Derrick Rose for talking about money. Why do you go to work? Most people go to work for what? Not because they want to, because they have to. In the midst of having to, you go to work to try to make as much money as possible, don't you? I mean, don't most of you say, well, you know, I took this new job because the money is good. Don't you say that? Or I'm going to stay because they gave me a raise and the money is good. You say that, right? Now, all of a sudden, you know, I think we're a little hypocritical when we start coming at Derrick Rose and saying, hey, D. Rose. When D. Rose is saying, look, they're throwing out a lot of money. There's a lot of money out there. I got to get my hands on that money. In order for me to get my hands on that money, I got to be working out. I got to get my body right. I got to stay in tip-top shape. In order for all these things to happen for me, in order for me to cash in 2017, I got to stay in big-time shape. In order for you to cash in at your job, maybe you got to take a training course here. Maybe you got to get a degree here. Maybe you got to grab some credits there. Maybe you got to get a trade here. That's what you have to do to get, you know, to make the much, as much money as possible. That's what you have to do to get the job that you want and in turn to get the money that you want. That's what you have to do. Derrick Rose, in order for him to get the money that he wants, what he has to do is work out. What he has to do is stay in shape. What he has to do is make sure he can stay healthy and stay on a basketball court. If he can stay healthy and stay on a basketball court, then hey, this is an elite player. This is a MVP, 2011 MVP. This guy, this was a special player for a period of time. Till injuries started to beat his body up. Some are speculating maybe Derrick Rose doesn't love the game as much as he once did, and maybe he's in the game to make money. You dummy, aren't most people in playing sports to make money? I mean, Floyd Mayweather said it best. When you talk about boxing, it's called prize fighting. You're fighting for a prize. Most people go to work to make money and as much money as possible. And they're honest about it. And it's so hypocritical. You know, we want athletes to tell the truth. We want them to be honest. You know, we get tired of the typical sound bites that you hear throughout the world of sports. You know, when they're talking about a team, you know, they're a good football team. Knowing that football team stinks. They have a good quarterback. Knowing that quarterback stinks. You know, they're going to come and play hard. Knowing that team hasn't been playing hard for a long time. You hear all these things that it's all these sound bites that you get from athletes, typical sound bites. You know, you just hear them all the time. But don't you want the truth? Don't you want guys to say, we're better than you, we're going to beat you? Don't you like to hear that sometimes? And now all of a sudden, Derrick Rose tells you, look, I'm out here trying to get my body right so in 2017 I can cash in and get the most money as possible so he can take care of generations of Roses. Well, most of us go to work so we can take care of generations of whoever, take care of generations of Gans. I would love to be in Derrick Rose's position so I can take care of generations of Gans. I think most people, if they had an opportunity, if they had a chance, would love to put themselves in the position so they can take care of generations of their family. So their family members don't have to work as hard as they did to get what they got. Derrick Rose has made a bunch of money. TV money. I mean, not TV money, sneaker money. On the court money. And he's looking to prepare and set up his family forever. That's admirable. That's what many people would love to do. Many people say, I would love to leave something for my kids, grandkids, so on and so forth. That's what most people say. That's what most people go to work for. I want to build a house for my family, you know, and give my kids, my sons, my daughters, my grandkids something I never had. People do that. And most people are honest about that. Now, hey, maybe you can argue, look, Derrick, I mean, dude, you're making all this money. You're making a lot of money. So maybe, you know, an average person can't relate to the type of money that you're making, Derrick. They can't. So from that standpoint, if you're D. Rose, from that standpoint, maybe you just be quiet. But people want the truth. And it's just like they say, you can't handle the truth. You want the truth, but you can't handle it. Not to lie, but you can't handle it. And a lot of people say, you know what, I want you to tell me the truth. Tell me the real. Give me the real. In a moment, that person gives you the real. The moment that person tells the truth is the moment you're like, he talks too much. It's the moment you start questioning this guy. He needs to shut up. You want the truth, right? Derrick Rose is going to make $20 million this year. Truth. Next season, the year after this, Derrick Rose is going to make $21 million. Truth. Most of you can't relate to that. None of us can really relate to that. There's a large portion of the population that can't relate to $20 million. They can't relate to that being made in 1 year. Some of us don't make that in our lifetime. They can't relate to the money that Derrick Rose is making. From that standpoint, when you're talking, I guess in a lot of ways when we talk, we always should consider our audience. Because, you know, if you got thousandaires and you're a millionaire talking to thousandaires, the thousandaire is not going to understand, can't relate to a millionaire. And vice versa. But when you're talking to the media is representing the public, Joe Public. And they're looking to disseminate that story to Joe Public. And so the reality is maybe Derrick Rose should have, you can argue maybe he should have considered his audience and spoke to the audience. You know, obviously if I'm talking to a child, I'm going to dumb down, and not necessarily dumb it down, but I'm going to reduce the type of language. I'm going to say in a different way. You know, everybody says things in different ways to different people. You know what I mean? I'm not going to talk to a 5-year-old the way I talk to a 21-year-old. And I guess on some level, Derrick Rose can't talk to thousandaires the way he talks to millionaires, multimillionaires, his fellow NBA players. You know, guys talking about, you know, they got to feed their family, Latrell Sprewell, but Latrell Sprewell is broke. So maybe he was right on some level. He's had some money issues. And, you know, we hear it all the time. Josh Smith talking about, you know, I'm taking a pay cut here, and, you know, I know this could affect my family. It's going to affect my family financially. You know, thousandaires can't relate. I can't relate to that. I can't relate to what Derrick Rose is when he's talking about $20 million, and he's making $20 million a year, and he's talking about the possibilities in 2017. I can't relate to the possibility of ever having a $100 million contract. It would be nice, it would be lovely, it would be great, but I can't relate. So I think at the end of the day, it was a case of Derrick Rose needs to, you got to watch your audience. And your audience, when you have an audience of a bunch of thousandaires and you're a millionaire, thousandaires have a hard time relating to millionaires. And it's very difficult for a thousandaire to relate to a millionaire. And so people just don't understand. But at the end of the day now, Derrick Rose, obviously, he's got to get healthy. And he's got to stay healthy. He'll be back in 2 weeks. So it's not catastrophic. It's not an end-of-the-world type of injury. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. And so at the end of the day, it's a setback, of course, but also at the end of the day, D. Rose will be back. He'll be fine. And you know, I root for Derrick Rose. I know there's some things out here. I know there's a civil suit out there against him, alleged sexual assault. I know that's out there. But it's out. I mean, people make allegations all the time. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's not true. But people make allegations all the time. I like Derrick Rose, and so when you see, you know, Derrick Rose tore his meniscus, or Derrick Rose, you know, tore his ACL against the Philadelphia 76ers in that series. And don't get me wrong, when that it helped me. It helped me. It helped when you know, helped my Sixers. It helped my Sixers win that series. It really did. But the reality is this, you know, you hate to see stars of the game go down with injury. You hate to see it. Kevin Durant going out. You hate to see that. You know, Rose, you hate to see that. Westbrook a couple years ago, you hate to see it. Kobe over the years, you hate to see stars get hurt. You hate to see it. You most definitely do. And so we'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully D. Rose will get healthy, stay healthy, and hopefully D. Rose can get his Bulls. We've been waiting for the Bulls to take that next step. And on some level, in that wait, I'm thinking on – I mean, do I think it's pretty much over with this era of Chicago Bulls in terms of a championship? It's going to be difficult as long as LeBron James is there. It's going to be difficult as long as Kyrie Irving is healthy. Kevin Love meshes well. If Kevin Love meshes well with that team – and they should improve without Kevin Love that he still can get to the NBA Finals. But it's going to be difficult with those guys in the way. It's going to be most definitely difficult. You know, it's going to be difficult. But not impossible, because as we saw, you know, Bulls were close in that particular series. LeBron James hits that buzzer beater. And if LeBron James, you know, doesn't hit that buzzer beater there in game four, then who knows what happens. I mean, if he doesn't hit that buzzer beater there, and the Bulls find a way to win that basketball game, and you know, they're up 3-1 at that point. They're up 3-1 in that series if that happens. And up 3-1 in that particular situation, you know, could spell the end for it, could have spelled the end for the Cavaliers. And then, you know, Pau Gasol was injured. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, but you do have a Jimmy Butler there in place. So you got a team, you know, Pau Gasol, who was an all-star last year. I know he's getting older, but he was an all-star last year. You got people in place in Chicago. Maybe they can threaten. Maybe. You know, maybe Doug McDermott gets a year better. You got Mirotić. You know, the guy came over last season who gave him some decent minutes. You know, this is still a formidable basketball team. Still a formidable basketball team. There were guys who, you know, I think Charles Barkley picked the Bulls to win that series against the Cavaliers. There were some people that were picking against the Cavaliers in that particular series against the Bulls. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to believe that the Chicago Bulls can't beat the Miami Heat. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult. Isn't it impossible? No. But Patrick Ewing, you know, Reggie Miller, they all ran into Michael. Barkley ran into Michael. GP, Gary Payton, and Sean Kemp ran into Michael. Stockton and Malone, they ran into Michael. They ran into Michael. And maybe D. Rose will be one of those guys who ran into LeBron. You know, maybe they'll run into LeBron. And ultimately, running into LeBron is not going to get you to the NBA Finals. But we'll see what happens with D. Rose. Again, ultimately, I hope you want to see him stay healthy. You want to see him be healthy. And you want him, just like anybody, I love seeing anybody cash in and make a boatload of money. Hey, use what you got to get what you want. And hopefully D. Rose can do that in 2017. And he can cash in and get that money. Let's Jonathan Papelbon. You know, we Papelbon, Bryce Harper, you know, these guys arguing, fighting in the dugout. And how about the Nationals? I mean, a team with so much promise, a team that, you know, just a couple months ago was in control, you know, three games up in their division, and seemingly, you know, the Mets were three games back, and, you know, the Mets were struggling, but they weren't playing the greatest of baseball. And the Nationals, you figured, okay, this baseball team was poised and ready to finally get back to the playoffs. We've been talking about the Nationals forever, since, like, what, 2012? We've been talking about the Nationals in terms of, not forever, but the last 3 years. We've been talking about them to finally break through. We've been hoping that they will finally break through. You know, when he first stepped on the scene, you know, the Nationals, what, three games up. And we're talking about Papelbon when he first stepped on the scene. And then ultimately, they would become 12 games. You know, they lost 12 games in the standings. 12 games over 2 months. Papelbon wasn't very good. He wasn't very good. The Nationals weren't very good. And they had opportunities and games, and, you know, they had leads, and they just blew them against the Mets. You know, they had leads and you know, throughout that series, and the Mets just beat them. And how about the Mets getting Cespedes? And, you know, that propelled that baseball team with all the pitching they got up there in Queens. Papelbon and Bryce Harper, they go at it. You know, Bryce Harper with the pop-up. You know, Papelbon not happy that Bryce Harper didn't run it out. You know, but before that, Jonathan Papelbon gave up, what, 5 runs in that game against the Phillies? Gets one of the worst teams in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies. And so, basically, like, dude, you know, I know you're a tough guy. I know you're all that. You're a tough guy, man, but come on. It's not like you went out there and you struck out the side. It's not like you did that. I mean, before you decided to get into that fight, it's not like you struck out the side. Dude, you just got beat around. You got beat around by the Phillies. The worst team in baseball. They beat you around. And you worried about Bryce Harper, an MVP, possibly? One of the best players in baseball, you worried about him? You pitched one inning. You gave up 5 runs, 2 earned. So 3 of them, maybe not your fault. But you just got beat up a little bit. It's not like you had a 1-2-3 inning, and you're worried about Jonathan, and you're worried about Bryce Harper. Come on, Papelbon. Come on, JP. You need to, at that point, you need to just go somewhere, hit the shower, and be done. That's what you need to do. Because reality is, it's not like you pitched that great before. I mean, it's like, dude, like if you went out and you did what you needed to do, then you can talk. But if you're not doing what you need to do as a man, as a pitcher, as a player, then you can't say nothing. You cannot say anything. So, and then you just look at the Nationals over the years, and this team, you know, back in, what, 2012, that NLDS situation against the Cardinals where you're up 4-9, you blow it, you lose, and you're out the playoffs. But that was the year, you know, 98 wins, the most in the majors. Steven Strasburg, what, 15-6. Pitching good baseball. You had Gio Gonzalez, also a 21-game winner that season. And in the process of that, you know, you had all those things working for you. And we all know, you know, going back to Papelbon, we all know why he came. True story, you know, the questions about him was going on in the postseason. And obviously he was a culprit in 2012 against the Cardinals in that Game 5 where he gave up those four runs. And we know why on some level Papelbon was there. But anyway, you look at the Nationals back in 2012 and, you know, their thought process, hey, we'll sit Strasburg down. We're going to be here for a while. We're going to be around. You're going to be seeing a little bit of us, a lot of us, over the next few years. We're poised and ready to be formidable and be a team to reckon with over the next few years. We're a team that you are going to have to worry about over the next few years. We're going to be back here. We're going to get back there. We're going to be a team that's going to win a World Series or two. We're going to be that team. And then, all of a sudden, you know, they had struggles last season, injuries and everything, and it didn't work out this season as well. There's no guarantee in sports. That's the bottom line. And don't ever think that just because, you know, you have a formidable young team that you can go where you want to go. It doesn't always work that way. Injuries are a part of the situation. And there's no guarantees in life. So at the end of the day, the Nationals decided, hey, you know what, let's sit Steven Strasburg down with the hope that, you know what, we'll be back here at some point again. And it never took shape for the Nationals, and, you know, it all fell apart. And ultimately, this team is going home in 2015. The Mets win the NL East, and, you know, winning the Nationals is going to finally fulfill the promise that many thought they would. We're going to bring in a guy who fulfilled his promise as a National Football League player. Guy who did big things in the National Football League. Let's bring him in now. Hall of Famer, Willie Rofe. Willie.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad I'm here. I'm trying a little late.
All good. Let's get right down to it. And we saw last night in Pittsburgh, you know, the Steelers gave a football game away. Josh Scobie missed a couple field goals, makeable field goals, one for 41, the other for 49. We saw some questionable calls in overtime, you know, with Michael Vick on that 4th-and-2 getting stopped. And then,
well, let's be honest with you, too, Paul. I mean, the fullback ripped the guy's helmet off when he made that run, when he reversed the field. I mean, that was blatant, the holding call. I mean, he grabbed the guy by the head and spit them around. That should have been a touchdown anyway.
That first one, yes. But obviously the Steelers let one get away. But let's look at that fourth down situation in overtime. The first time they run a quarterback draw with Michael Vick, Le'Veon Bell's in the game. He didn't get the ball. And then the second time, 4th-and-1, Le'Veon Bell's in the game. He didn't get the ball. Michael Vick throws an errant pass to Antonio Brown. In the overtime, they had an opportunity for a 50-yard field goal. And I know Josh Scobie missed those two field goals, but wasn't the right call for them to go for it?
They should have kicked the field goal the second time or tried to kick a field goal. I understand they were upset about the field goal kicker, I'm still sad for Josh Scobie. He's a Louisiana Tech guy like me, you know, all-time leading scorer in Jacksonville history. And that's the toughest way to put a coach in. They had every opportunity to win that game. Baltimore, you know, when they tried to make that field goal and didn't get the field goal, I mean, did the fake field goal and everything that happened, they had every opportunity. The Steelers did. He won that game. Michael Vick played an excellent game for the most part. You know, he had a couple bad throws, but I thought he played very well. He had plenty of time. He had great protection, and the way he stood in there and threw that ball, he looked good, and he ran for a couple first downs. But I think the Steelers gave that game away. They should have gone for it, and they should have kicked the field goal. In that situation, gave Scobie a chance to redeem himself and to get his confidence back. You know, he's still a good kicker, and, you know, you give him a chance to get his confidence back.
I think I agree with you. I know Heinz Field's a tough place to kick, but I think you got to give that kicker, and it's a 50-yard field goal, I think you got to give him another opportunity in that particular situation. But at this point, Josh Scobie's probably going to be looking for obviously, the Steelers are going to be all this. They're going to be looking for a kicker because it's obvious that Mike Tomlin had no faith in Josh Scobie at the end of that football game. And
but everybody,
you know,
talks about how hard it is to kick in that field, though, Paul. Everybody
That's true, but you got to make – I mean, you had a 41-yard field goal. As an NFL kicker, you have to make a 41-yard field goal. And then he missed a 49-yarder, and then he didn't get another chance. But the Ravens get that victory last night. Steelers are going to be kicking themselves for a little bit. Let me ask you this now. And Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, he looked awful last week. Four interceptions. You know, first couple passes were pick six in that first quarter against the Cardinals. You know, this was a guy, and it's funny. We looked at RG3 had that big year, and, you know, Kaepernick had that big year. We were talking about the read option guys, and, you know, this is going to revolutionize the game and all this other craziness. And Russell Wilson, he's still doing big things. But the other two guys, Kaepernick and RG3, guys who we thought were going to possibly revolutionize the game with the read option, those guys are you know, struggling right now. RG3 can't get on the field, and Kaepernick, some believe, maybe should be getting off the field the way he's been playing. But are you surprised by the demise of Colin Kaepernick at this point?
I mean, I'm surprised because that first week he looked real good. It looks like he had been working on his mechanics and, you know, stood in the pocket and threw the ball well. I mean, ultimately, Paul, as you see, you got to know how to read these defenses and play and understand where the ball's got to go. That offense is fading out. I mean, it's not, you know, you got to understand coverages and playing football, reading defenses, picking your spots on the run. I mean, a few years ago, Kaepernick was doing everything off his raw athletic ability, and he was getting away with it. Now the pressure's on him. You know, they lost a lot of guys, but he's the man. He's making big money now. So he's in a different circumstance now. Before he had nothing to lose, everything to gain, and now, you know, it's a different ballgame, Paul. And you got to step up. And at this point, how long has he been in the league, Paul? 4 or 5 years?
He
should be able to learn how to, what did you say, Paul, how many years?
5 years, but you look at
5 years.
The past 4 years, he's been starting.
And look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton lost a lot of weapons, but Cam Newton understands how to play the game. The game's slowing down. He's throwing the ball when he's got to. He's using his feet some. But Cam Newton is standing in there throwing that ball now more, and he's not taking off running as much more, which he has to do as he gets older and matured in this league. You got to throw the ball more. You never saw Warren move running the ball down the field. Warren Moore stood back there and threw that football. And Warren Moore had 60, 70,000 yards throwing if he had to go to Canada. You look at the numbers, what he did in Canada and what he did in the NFL, he still made it to the Hall of Fame. But Warren Moore played in Canada for 4 or 5 years and was the best quarterback over there. So Warren Moore had 60,000, at least 60. He would have been the all-time leading quarterback yards, and they would have been breaking his records if he hadn't had to go to Canada. But Warren Moon, who knew how to read the defenses, very intelligent guy, very nice guy, and knew how to throw the football.
Right. And you know, it's funny. I mean, it's just unbelievable to think that, you know, Kaepernick would be – we would be questioning whether or not at this point the 49ers really do have a quarterback. And maybe they don't. And maybe – you know, I'm not saying Alex Smith, because, you know, obviously he has a hard time getting the ball down the field. You know, obviously
he can't throw the ball down the field, Paul. Paul, that was embarrassing
that
last week against Green Bay. I mean, first of all, they can't. If you heard what Ray Lewis said, they aren't communicating. They're running these crazy pick plays, and you can't touch the guy. Like Ray said, you got to bump a guy the first 5 yards. At least get him off his route. I mean, they just let guys run free, man. It makes it too easy for a guy like Aaron Rodgers. But on the other hand, I mean, the Chiefs can't throw the ball down the field. You know, they finally throw the ball to Mackler for a touchdown, but that was in the red zone. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, or you're paying these guys $15, $20 million a year, and they can't even throw the ball down the field. I just don't understand it.
It's you know, you watch the Chiefs and, you know, you say Alex Smith, he's a nice quarterback, he's a decent quarterback, but like you said, if you can't get the ball down the field, there's no way you can win in the National Football League, and he can't get the ball down the field consistently. And so there's no way you're going to win the National Football League if you can't get the ball down the field the way you need to. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Roaf. Really, I want to ask you this now. We saw the Patriots now. They're off to a tremendous start, 3-0, playing some big-time football, blew out the Jacksonville Jaguars, 51-17. And last time the Patriots had some adversity, we had Spygate. They went undefeated. This time around we have Deflategate. And they're off to a great, great start and playing some big-time football. I want to ask you this now. You know, and we can go through the schedule real quick. But I'm looking at the schedule with the New England Patriots, and I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated because we know how hard it is to go undefeated in an National Football League. But the way this offense is playing, the way Tom Brady is playing, there's a possibility that, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think it's going to happen. But if you look at the schedule, we go through it real fast. Week 5 against Dallas, at Dallas, but Romo's not there, right? We go week 6 at Indy. Indy hasn't really been playing that great of football. We got week 7 against the Jets. You know, can the Jets really stick with this Patriot offense? I don't think so. You got the Dolphins week 8. Another game that's very winnable. Dolphins off to a bad start, not playing good football. You know, week 9, you got the Redskins. Redskins aren't that good. Week 10, the Giants. That's winnable. It's at New York, but that's a very winnable game. Week 11, Buffalo. I mean, you drop 40 on Buffalo, so you can do big things against that offense. I'm thinking week 12 is going to be tough against Denver. But Denver, you know, that offense isn't really doing much, and we know what the Patriots offense is doing. Philly, week 13 in New England, that's a game they should win. At Houston, week 14, another game they should win. Week 15 against the Titans, they should win that. Week 17 at the Jets might be tough, but they can outscore the Jets. And then week 17 against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins haven't been playing good football. It's possible. Do you see 16-0?
It's a long schedule, Paul. Brady's going to give you some games. And it's, well, he's not going to be as productive. He's going to turn the ball over a little bit. One of the defensive lines is going to get after him. And when they do, it's not going to be the same. Now, in that type of game, the defense is going to step up. Remember the Kansas City game last year? When he went on the road and Kansas City picked him off a couple of times and he turned the ball over and they got after him up front and they ultimately won the game. He's going to have some games where some guys are going to get after him. It's going to be ugly type football game, probably a low-scoring game, and we'll see if that defense can hold up. But I say 14-2 right now, looking at them, best record in the NFL. Maybe.
And, I mean,
well, what's Green Bay's record right now?
Green Bay 3-0.
It's coming between them and Green Bay for the best record in the league. I say they'll go. Atlanta looks real good, but the Chiefs have been a disappointment. I was talking about them earlier in the year. The Falcons look very good right now. They'll lose two games this year.
Two games, and that's probably
two road games.
That Buffalo
game at home is going to be a tough game because of restaurant and that history. When Buffalo comes up there to play, it's going to be a tough game. So it won't be a blowout like the first one where they're coming back late. So it's going to be a couple games. It's going to be a dogfight. And they might lose a couple of them.
We'll see what happens with the New England Patriots playing some great football right now. Speaking of a team not playing great football, your New Orleans Saints, you know, Luke McCown, played decent.
Lock-tech Bulldog.
He played decent against the Panthers. Wasn't enough at the end of the day. And there's Drew Brees looking like Drew Brees probably will play on Sunday. And, you know, you're getting some other guys back. Keenan Lewis is coming back. Jarius Bird is, you know, these guys are probable Lewis and Bird.
What has Jerry's Bird done, Paul? What has Jerry's Bird done since he's been there?
Well, you're getting them back.
All that money, what has he done?
At this point, he has done nothing. You know, there's no getting
around
that.
So don't say they're getting them back like they're getting back a Pro Bowler or somebody like that.
Well, you're getting back a guy who, you know, played some good football before he came to the Saints. I mean, you're getting him back.
He was a big playmaker. They said this guy was a big playmaker. I haven't seen none of this since he got to the Saints. The guy looks like he don't want to play football.
Well, I mean, in order to make those big plays, you got to stay healthy, and hopefully, he can be healthy. I mean,
just like these guys, just like Sue. I don't know if it's the coaching down there in Miami, if he don't like the coaches, but what if Sue got a huge contract? Now, I will say this. The guy for the Chiefs, Houston, who got paid, Houston plays hard. Him and Ali, Tom Ali, you watch them play Derrick Johnson. Those guys play hard every week. They play real hard. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with Sue. They say he's not playing good. But these guys are getting a lot of money, man, to not be playing, once they were real good football players. And I heard people talking about comparing him to the kid that left Tennessee and got all the money from Washington. And
Haynesworth.
I'm not going to call him him, but who?
Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, Haynesworth. I mean, how can you? I mean, they're saying it's that bad.
Well, I mean, with free agency, sometimes it comes down to systems, and certain systems work for certain guys, and certain systems are more effective for certain guys, and it's just the reality of the situation, and hopefully for the Miami Dolphins, Sue can ultimately turn this thing around. Your Saints done? 0-3.
I will say this. Because the Atlanta Falcons looked so good this year and they lost to Carolina in that division game, it's gonna be real hard on them. I think Atlanta has gotten a lot out of the first year coach, different attitude. Atlanta looks a lot better. The line looks good. Bruce Matthews is playing good football up front. They're Julio Jones is playing all world right now. And the running back is playing good. Atlanta gets better. Every year in the league, you're not going to be the same. You know, you're only getting better, you get worse. You got to make the right moves. It's the team that makes the right moves. It's Paul. You can make three. You make a few. You got the draft. Let's say you don't draft, and the guys aren't productive. You draft. You're gonna pick up a couple key free agents. If those guys that you pick up. And those guys you draft, and then if somebody goes down, the backups you draft don't contribute to the team. You're out of it. Look with the
right.
Chiefs. The guy tears his ACL, but you tell me what kind of impact they have with them not having Sean Smith, who got in trouble and missed three games. The big quarterback has affected them tremendously. Now I know they drafted the kid that had a good game, Peters, but your acquisitions. And your trade, the guys you pick up in free agency, if you don't do a good job with those key pickups and they're not helping your team, they're not contributing, then they tie up your salary cap and you're screwed.
Right. I mean, in the NFL, free agency can help you turn things around. You can turn things around fast, but, the key is, your quarterback. And fortunately for the Atlanta Falcons, they have a quarterback. They have Matt Ryan. And fortunately for them, they also have a big-time wide receiver in Julio Jones. Defensively, there's still some holes there. There's still some holes on the defensive side of football with the Atlanta Falcons. Offensively, they're playing some good football. The line is opening holes for the running game, Freeman and those boys. And obviously, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are doing their thing. They're putting up big-time numbers. But, defensively, they're still a little suspect. They're better, obviously. But we'll see what happens. It should be interesting.
Well,
the problem
with the Saints are they're suspect on the defensive ball and the offensive side of the ball. They can't run the ball. They haven't been able to throw the ball the way they needed to. So it's just like we were with Kansas City. If they can't score 30 points a game, and then your defense isn't that good, then what are you gonna do?
That's true. I mean, that's true, but. Hopefully, again, Jarius Bird is back. Keenan Lewis is back. Hopefully, you know, Allerby is
well,
back.
And another thing, Paul, they thought Cooks was going to be the next Steve Smith. And I mean, I think he's a good player. I don't know if you look at his numbers over the first two games. Obviously, he's not Steve Smith, you know, but that's who they were trying to compare this kid to coming out of college.
Well, Cooks is off to not a bad start, 16 catches, 190 yards. Not awful, but no touchdowns, you know. But, you know, he's going to have to work a lot harder. Not harder, but he's got to play a lot better if he wants to be Steve Smith-like, and we all know Steve Smith, possible Hall of Famer. So, you know, we'll see. We're talking to a Hall of Famer, Willie Rofe. Willie, let's go out on this now. Derrick Rose, you know, and, you know, Derrick Rose talked about, you know, and I'm paraphrasing him now, but, you know, getting his body right, getting everything ready, getting himself ready to go for 2 years from now, and because they're giving a lot of money out in the NBA, 2 years from now he can be a free agent, you know, and he talked about money. He talked about getting his body ready and with the opportunity that he can make big-time money in 2017 NBA free agency when that new TV money comes to play. Let me ask you this, and we, you know, he got criticized by a lot of people. I believe, look, you go to work, you go play basketball, you play football, you guys all do this thing for money. And the reality is when you know, I think where he went wrong, this is where he went wrong. Sometimes when you're a millionaire and you're talking to thousandaires, and that's mostly everybody, mostly the fans, thousandaires can't understand millionaires. Thousandaires can't speak the same type of language that millionaires can speak. So when thousandaires hear millionaires talking about, well, you know, I want to get this money in 2017 and so on and so forth, thousandaires can't relate. So my thing is this.
Thousandaires don't understand that the millionaires are working for billionaires. And all the owners are billionaires. And did you know somebody told me, I didn't know this, Paul, but you know what the average, after I don't know if they passed this before taxes, do you know what each NFL team makes a year, win, lose, or draw?
What?
Roughly around $400 million.
Okay.
Another thing, Paul, let's go back to your statement. First of all, Derrick Rose is from Chicago. He's been hurt a lot the last few years. He was better. He played in the playoffs last year. He played a little better. And the good thing was that year he played in the Olympics because he hadn't played, you know, in the summer of the games because he hadn't played during the season. Second of all, he was hurt last year, with the knee injury. So he shouldn't be worried about a new contract. He needs to be worried about being productive the last couple of years on this contract. Another point is, isn't he making like crazy money with Adidas? I think he's making like $12-13 million a year on a shoe deal he's got. So he's already he's got a shoe deal making upwards, if I'm not mistaken, Paul, over $10 million a year. So with his basketball money, which was a max deal at the time, which was 85, whatever million he got. So he's making at least 15 or 16 on the basketball deal. He should be making around $30 million a year or somewhere in that neighborhood. He's already making big money.
And
that shoe deal was real long. He doesn't really need to be talking about what he's going to be getting on the basketball court in 2 years because he's looking at LeBron James, what those guys are making, you know, upwards of $35-40 million a year when he's been dealing with these knee injuries. Nobody's going to pay him $35-40 million a year when he can only play half the year. He might be getting 15 or 20, which is close to what he's making now. He's not going to be making what LeBron James will be getting, which is like the highest paid guy now. What did the kid in New Orleans sign for, like 5 year, 145?
Yeah.
Because
that
kicks in next year. Anthony Davis signed like a 5 year, 145. I don't know what that average is, but that's a lot, Paul. But he's not going to get that type of deal because you got to factor in he's going to probably miss a quarter to a third to a half of a season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, he's making $20 million this year. He's going to make $21 next year. And to your point about the shoe deal, 13-year deal with Adidas for $185 million. So
thank you, Paul.
He's got a lot of money, and he's got a lot coming in off the court.
He's making $20 million this year. Paul, he's making $20 million this year, 21 next year, with a shoe deal making over 10 a year. He's talking about he's got to secure his kids financially. Well, he's already making over $30 million this year.
Yeah, and I get that, but here's also the thing. Everybody wants to say, you know what, I want to leave a legacy for my kids. I want to give my kids this. I want to give my kids that. I want to make the road for my kids as easy as possible. And so, you know, he only has so much time to make as much money as possible.
If they paid you 30-something million 1 year and you paid taxes and you had 15, I put it like this, Paul, I played 13 years and I made upwards of the high 30s, maybe close to 40. It took me 13 years to make that. They'll make 30-something million in 1 year, Paul. If you had $15 or $18 million in the bank after 1 year, I'm pretty sure the way you are, you could leave a pretty nice legacy for your kids with $15, $18 million.
We also seen guys, you know, Mike Tyson's of the world, the Evander Holyfields of the world, the Allen Iversons of the world, who've had money issues. Even guys who made, you know, Allen Iverson made a bunch of money with Reebok.
Paul, he's a vet now, Paul. He's been young. He's been in the league. How many years Derrick Rose in the league? 5, 6 years? 7 years? He's had a chance to make his mistakes in life. I think he should be able to to take care of his business and be conservative. And be more conservative at this point. He's been in Chicago his whole career. He should have his house, cars, pretty much everything should be situated with him at this point. So I understand he's looking at the new money deal and wants the big contract, but you don't need to be talking about this, Paul, when you're making upwards of $30-35 million.
I agree, he's making
$5 million. Michael Jordan is making $4 million, $5 million. You know what I mean? And made all the money in the endorsements, but he's making $20 million. Give me his ranking top players in NBA salaries this year. He's got to be in the top.
You got Anthony Davis, obviously. You know, he's got his big.
Kobe Bryant at 25.
But before we get there, I think you know where he went wrong. Here's where he went wrong. He went wrong because his audience that he was talking to, you know, they can't relate to what he's. They can't relate. The audience that he is addressing cannot relate to what he's talking about. And I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, you only have so much time to make as much money as possible. And if you have an opportunity to make as much money as possible, you need to make as much money as possible. But let's top 10. You got Kobe making $25 million, Joe Johnson at $24.9 million, Melo 3 at $22.9 million, Howard $22.4 million, Chris Bosh is making $22 million. He's number 5. Chris Paul 21, Durant 21.2, Chris Paul was 21.5. Darren Williams, $21 million. Derrick Rose, $20 million. And Blake Griffin, $18.9 million.
So you got LeBron James, arguably the best player in the NBA. He's not even in the top 10. I know he makes all the money in endorsements, and LeBron's going to look for that payday. You got Derrick Rose in the top 10 in players. You don't need to be complaining about money when you're making 20 and you got a shoe deal worth $185 million. I don't know how many years he's got left on that. And you've been hurt the last 2 or 3 years. The last thing he needs to be talking about is how much money he's trying to make in 2 years from now, when in 2 years from now, we don't even know how good his knees are going to be held up. And I don't think nobody should get it more than $20 million, maybe 10 or 15 in 2 years because of Dwayne Turner's knees like they did Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is upset he didn't get a long-term deal. Nobody's going to pay Dwayne Wade no crazy money and give him a long-term deal. He's got too many injuries. He's been like shot at the end of his career, you know, was going and barely playing and was making 20 a year. You know, and, you know, the only guy I'm giving that kind of money to is LeBron or like you said, Anthony Davis. You know, the guys that are going to be getting that huge max contract deal coming up, superstar players. going to be playing. They're not going to be guys that I'm worried about if they get hurt. Even Kevin Durant, I hope he plays this year. But I'm not giving Kevin Durant, I mean, that kind of deal because I'm worried about his feet.
But here's the thing. A lot of guys made a lot of money in this offseason. A lot of guys made a lot of money. Guys that, you know, Reggie Jackson's making, what, 5 years, $80 million. You know, so there's – if Reggie Jackson's getting all that kind of money and Derrick Rose can stay healthy, Derrick Rose could be a $100 million, could get another $100 million contract easily. He's,
no,
what,
no, no.
20,
okay, Paul. He's going to want a three-year $100 million contract, Paul. He's going to want a three-year $100 million contract. That's what he's going to want. He's going to want 33 or whatever year. I understand what you're saying. And that's what's going on right now with the Cavs and Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson wants to get paid like a top five player. He's a rebounder, a hustle guy. And this guy wants 3 years, $57 million. You know, he wants 5 years, $85 million. I mean, he doesn't even average 15 points a game. And he wants $85 million, Paul.
No, I mean, I agree with you. But again, it's in the NBA, man, if you can negotiate it and get the money, then you can negotiate and get the money no matter what, you know, how good you are or whatever issues you may have. If you can get the money and the money's there, you know, why not get it? And my thing is Derrick Rose, I know he's making a whole bunch of money, but at the same time.
Is he making good, Paul? Would you say he's making excellent money right now?
Oh,
but what his production did last year, he's making great money.
For sure. But he was, you know, your contract is based off future abilities. And, you know, future abilities at the time was saying that Derrick Rose could be a very special player. And, you know, put up a bunch, you know, a lot of special numbers.
Okay, in two years, if you're going to pay him 30-plus million a year, how many years are you going to make the contract? You can't make the contract longer than a three-year deal.
Well, let's put it this way. 26 years old, right? Let's say Derrick Rose balls out. He'll be 27 in a couple of days. Let's say he balls out this year, balls out next year. 29 years old, stayed healthy, put up big-time numbers. You mean to tell me Derrick Rose can't get a max deal? I mean,
I give him a three-year deal with an option. Maybe 4 years with the team option. I couldn't give him more than a 3 year deal, Paul. Too many injuries. Too much wear and tear.
Somebody
when you hurt your knee like that, Paul, when you hurt your knee like that, it's not going away. It's still going to be wear and tear. He's still going to run down up and down that court.
All right, so.
82 games plus the playoffs. So, guess what happens, Paul?
Let me ask you this.
When he gets older, he's going to be the coach from San Antonio theory. He's not even going to play all the regular season games. You got the rest of 20 games a year to get him ready for the playoffs. So when he gets about that 30 mark, he's not going to play. If I got Derrick Rose, he's not playing back-to-backs. He's only going to play 50 to 60 games.
Because
I got him first for the playoffs anyway.
All right, so let's look at this. 2011, when he won the MVP, right? 27, 25 points a game, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Let's just say he goes on the low end and say he goes down to like 20 points a game, 5, 6 assists, 3, 4 rebounds. And he does that for the next two seasons. If he averages 20-5, 20 points, 5 assists, and a few, you know, 2 to 3 rebounds for the next two seasons, he stay healthy, he's getting a $100 million contract. Somebody's going to pay him. Because he'll be only 29 years old at the time. 29. Ain't even 30.
How many games you talking about him making through the next 2 years?
Let's just say he plays a full season. The only time he sits down is for rest. You know, he stays healthy. Stays healthy. The only time he sits down is for rest.
Well, that's not what I have to call him. Paul, he's out of mat right now. He's not going to start the season right now. He's already out.
Well, wait, 2 weeks? He'll got 2 weeks. They said he'll be back playing basketball.
He's out of mat. He's missing him up.
Okay, so he'll miss some time. Got it. But at the same time, even if he missed some time, he comes on back and balls out, he's going to be okay. He's going to – if you don't – the thing is, in today's NBA, with the money that they're throwing around, you know, it may not take a lot to get paid. And so I'm saying, why can't Derrick Rose get a $100 million contract? Why can't he?
You're right. The $100 million is going to be for 3 years. Because the salary is going to be 30-something. He's going to want that 3 years. It's not going to be $20 million a year, Paul. It's going to be like the guy's going to be making $20 million a year in 2 years. He's not going to make 40. I said, he signed a $300 million deal with an option for the 4th year. The $100 million is going to be for 3 years.
No matter the length of the contract, he's going to get paid. And so I feel like, hey, if he stays healthy, like I said, if he can stay healthy and be okay, Derrick Rose.
We'll come back and discuss this in a couple of years, and we'll see what Derrick Rose is doing. And we'll go back this year. We'll talk about basketball later on this year, and we'll see how productive Derrick Rose is. If he's averaging 25, and how many games he missed. I will say this, over the next 2 years, he will miss at least 25 or 30 games.
Well, and based off his history, that's really not out of the realm of possibility, because he's only played out of possible, 312 games. He's only played in 100. So he's only played 100 games since the 2012 season. So that's not out of the realm of possibility. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Willie, pleasure, man.
So what we'll say is, if he misses 30, 40 games, then he's not going to get a max deal. He should sign for another less to stay in Chicago after all the money they gave him and been through with him, because, you know, basically he got paid and didn't play most of the games since 2012. So, really, he's had a sweet ride in Chicago since he got paid, Paul.
For sure, but at the end of the day, as the song once said, you got to use what you got to get what you want. And so if he can use what he got to get what he wants, you know, it's the American way. God bless him.
Paul, another thing, Paul, they're not giving him $30 million or $100 million for the regular season. They're giving him that to try to get a ring. You have a nice day.
We'll see. And unfortunately, he might run into King James just like Patrick Ewing did, just like Reggie Miller did with Michael Jordan. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be difficult. Pleasure, man.
All right, have a good one.
Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. And I want to thank Willie for stopping by. You can listen to this show and other great shows, blogtalkradio.com/pgant, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Follow us on Twitter at GoForGant. For everybody here, go for it. We hope you have a great weekend. See you later. Take care. Bye.